happen in the motorcade route. Something, I repeat, has happened in the motorcade route.
Welcome to The End of Innocence. I'm your host, John Young. As we have started this new series on the podcast, where we try to answer questions emailed in by listeners and subscribers, a couple of questions that gets asked often has become very relevant in the past week. One sent in by Ashley from Portland, Oregon asks, do you think that if Donald Trump is reelected, he will release all the locked away JFK assassination files? Well, Ashley, it seemed we got our answer to that just this past Friday.
Tonight, I'm very pleased to welcome a man who has been an incredible champion for so many of these values that we all share, and we've shared him for a long time. He is a great person. I've known him for so long. For the past 16 months, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. His candidacy has inspired millions and millions of Americans, raised critical issues that have been too long ignored in this country, and brought together people from across the political spectrum in a positive campaign grounded in the American values of his father, Robert Kennedy, a great man, and his uncle, President John F. Kennedy. And I know that they are looking down right now, and they are very, very proud of Bobby. I'm proud of Bobby. You want to know the truth? Soon after I can't even believe I have to say this, nearly assassinated in Pennsylvania last month, Bobby called me to express his best wishes. He knows firsthand the risks incurred by leaders who stand up to the corrupt political establishment. When you stand up, you bring on some trouble for yourself, but you have to do what's right. You have to do what's right for the country. I will tell you, we are both in this to do what's right for the country. That's one thing I can tell you. He lost his father and uncle in service to our country, and Bobby himself was subject to repeated threats to his safety during the course of his campaign while being denied protection by the Harris-Biden administration. And this is a tribute in honor of Bobby. I am announcing tonight that upon my election, I will establish a new independent Presidential Commission on Assassination Attempts. And they will be tasked with releasing all of the remaining documents pertaining to the assassination of President John F. Kennedy. But I tell you, I have never had more people ask me, please, sir, release the documents on the Kennedy assassination. And we're going to do that.
As you just heard, former President Donald Trump says he will establish an independent presidential commission on assassination attempts if reelected. He announced that at an Arizona campaign rally standing alongside Robert F. Kennedy Jr. last Friday. Trump said he'll task the commission with releasing all of the remaining documents pertaining to the assassination of former President John F. Kennedy. Historians and political journalists ask, will Trump actually deliver on the JFK files? Trump's initiative would put him at odds with the intelligence community once again. The commission would replace President Biden's, quote, final order on JFK files on June 2023, in which the White House turned over all decisions about the release of the 4,400-plus assassination-related records to the Central Intelligence Agency and the National Security Agency. Under Biden's order, the intelligence community can keep JFK records secretly indefinitely. Under Trump's plan, that would change. When Michael Flynn, who was former director of the Defense Intelligence Agency, tweeted that Trump should appoint Kennedy as head of the CIA, former agency spokesman Larry Pfeiffer expressed the horror of the intelligence community. Larry Pfeiffer tweeted, quote, what an unmitigated disaster this would be, putting a conspiracy monger in charge of the CIA, the institution charged with speaking truth to power, end quote. Did he just seriously say the CIA speaks truth? What a damn joke. In subordinating his call for full JFK records disclosure to Trump's investigation of his own assassination, Kennedy risks putting Trump's political interests ahead of his own goal. He also invites further conflict with his family over assassination-related material that is still in possession of the Kennedy family. Trump promised to release all of the files in October 2017, but quietly gave in to the CIA and FBI's demands for continuing secrecy around certain records related to CIA operations involving Lee Harvey Oswald, the accused assassin who denied killing JFK and said he was, quote, a patsy for others. Oswald was killed in police custody before he could explain his defense. That brings us to our second question in this week's podcast, sent in to me by Albert in Chicago, Illinois. He asks, what do you think the CIA may be hiding about JFK's assassination? Well, I will say this. I believe what's left in those files could be a game changer. Why else would they have been locked away all these years? So this clip that you're about to hear is really interesting. I had to share it with you. This is Judge Napoliano, who used to be a Fox News host. Here he's doing an interview, and he is talking about a conversation he had with Donald Trump right after the January 6th Capitol riots. He pushed Trump on something that he had promised and he didn't deliver on. Listen here to what he says about the JFK assassination.
In my last conversation with President Trump in the White House, he called me a lot. And this is after January 6th, so it's 2 weeks before, or a week before he's leaving office. He wanted to run past me the names of people he was going to pardon and sentences he was going to commute. He wanted my opinion on them. Some of them I knew. I said, how you doing? He said, not too well. And he went off into a tangent about what he thought happened with the election. I said, you know, you made a promise to the public many times and to me privately that you haven't kept. What? I'll take care of it right now. I said, you promised you would release the records of the JFK assassination. He said to me, Judge, if they showed you what they showed me, you wouldn't have released it either. And I said, who's they and what did they show you? And then he said, Judge, someday when we're on the phone, and then he raised his voice, and there aren't 15 people listening to the phone call, back to a normal voice, I'll tell you.
Oh, my God.
I mean, this makes it sound even worse. Who are they? Probably somebody in the intelligence community. What did they show him? JFK's brains blown out?
This is it. You know, it was said by one person that after the Kennedy assassination, there has been no president. They have only been factotums of the system since then.
Yeah.
It may well be the most decisive event in modern American history.
Assuming that this story is true, what in the world is in those files? I remember a long time ago, there was actually a CNN article that came out, and I'm talking probably over a decade ago now. This CNN article went through all of the different conspiracy theories about JFK's death. Okay, so of course the mainstream theory, or the so-called official theory, is Lee Harvey Oswald was a lone gunman and acted on his own accord. That's the official narrative. But then you have all these other theories about who really killed JFK. Was it the mob, the Soviets, the Cubans, etc.? Was Lyndon Johnson involved? So I read through this whole article expecting the same-o-same-o when it comes to the national media and the JFK assassination. But in the article, and again, this is CNN, the person who wrote it says we were able to dismiss almost every conspiracy theory about JFK's death, except for one, that the CIA killed him. I could not believe even CNN could not admit that the CIA was involved. So now we've come full circle to this. What the hell is in those files? What in those files did they show Trump? Or was it an implied threat? Like, you know, you release this, who knows what they're going to do to you? Because I have a hard time wrapping my mind around something that can make Trump say, if I showed you what was in those files, you also wouldn't have released them. In his campaign, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. repeatedly expressed his belief that rogue CIA officers were complicit in his uncle's death, the scenario amply documented in my book, The End of Innocence. The possibility that the CIA was involved in Kennedy's death was floated around since almost the moment Kennedy was shot. The mutual hatred between Kennedy and the CIA, especially after the disastrous Bay of Pigs invasion, was widely known in Washington. It is a measure of the paranoia of the era, and also of the agency's reputation for lawlessness, that on the afternoon of his brother's murder, Robert Kennedy summoned the director of the CIA to his home to ask, quote, if they, the CIA, had killed my brother, end quote. The director of the CIA, John McCain, said they had not. The agency assured the Warren Commission that prior to the assassination, it had no particular interest in Oswald and almost no information on him whatsoever. This has always seemed implausible. We know now, and have very many documented proof in black and white, that this was an outrageous lie by the agency. I guess having one of your agents intercept someone's mail and spy on them doesn't count as having information on someone.
Despite countless investigations and lingering questions, the assassination of President John F. Kennedy remains a hot topic. And adding to the mystery is President Biden's decision to keep some of the thousands of documents from the investigation still under wraps, a judge recently upholding that order. But 6 decades after Lee Harvey Oswald was named as Kennedy's killer, a new name has emerged tied to the case. Eyewitness News reporter Mike Marzo with more on that.
A recent decision by President Biden concerning documents related to the JFK assassination, raising new questions about what the government knew and when. The president, late last month, issuing a final order certifying documents from the JFK investigation to be released. But the New York Times reporting 4,684 of the files remain either partially or fully withheld from the public's eye.
On June 30th, President Biden washed his hands of the JFK matter and said that this would be his last order about JFK.
Jefferson Morley is the editor of the blog JFK Facts. He says some of the files being withheld could shed new light on the CIA's investigation before JFK's death.
What remains is about 4,400 documents from a variety of federal agencies, primarily the CIA, that still contain some redactions ranging from a word to a paragraph to a page to the whole document.
Morley says there's one name that's been a mystery all these years and made public in the files. Reuben Efron, who worked for the CIA and was intercepting Lee Harvey Oswald's mail in the months before the assassination.
Reuben Efron died 30 years ago. So they're not protecting the name of a living person. They're protecting the operational activity that he was engaged in, which was reading Lee Harvey Oswald's mail. What it shows is that the CIA was running some kind of intelligence operation, we don't know exactly what, around Lee Harvey Oswald, the accused assassin, while President Kennedy was still alive.
The declassification of CIA files under both Trump and Biden has shed new light on the causes of the assassination. In one way, it shows that Oswald was not a lone nut. In fact, he was a man of deep interest to top CIA officers, opposed to Kennedy's liberal policies. Despite everything we know, the CIA claims to have very minimal awareness of Oswald and no direct connection. In June 2023, Peter Baker of the New York Times published a story revealing new details about the CIA and their relationship with Oswald. The story covered a CIA memo from June of 1962 that summarized the contents of a letter between Lee Harvey Oswald and his mother. The letter was intercepted and read by the CIA when it was originally sent. So right there we have another piece of documentation of the fact that the CIA was fully aware and tracking Lee Harvey Oswald. Now apparently the existence of this CIA memo wasn't news. Assassination researchers have known that this memo existed for decades. The news that the New York Times was breaking in their story was about the author of this memo, which struck me as odd. That it was more important to the CIA to hide the identity of the person who wrote the memo than the existence of the memo itself. A recently declassified CIA memo identifies for the first time a clandestine operative who read the mail of accused assassin Lee Harvey Oswald for 20 months before the assassination. This man was a CIA spy, and documents recently declassified by the Biden administration in August of 2023 show that Reuben Efron was involved in tracking John F. Kennedy's assassin, Lee Harvey Oswald, in the years prior to the assassination. Efron was a CIA analyst, spy, and translator. He worked for the CIA since 1955. He was in charge of reading the mail of people who were picked by CIA counterintelligence chief James Angleton. Angleton had a list of about 200 people whose mail he opened, copied, and filed, and Oswald was one of those people. Starting from the week he went to the Soviet Union in 1959. The Times story showed that not only was the CIA reading Oswald's mail while he was in the Soviet Union, when Oswald comes home, Efron writes a memo which he sends to his boss, which says, Mrs. Edgar in, quote, CI SIG, end quote, will be interested. CIA SIG was so secret that almost nobody in the CIA other than Alan Dulles, James Angleton, and the people that worked for SIG knew that it even existed. The fact that Oswald's file is controlled at the highest level of the CIA is extremely noteworthy. What the Times story shows is that not only were they reading his mail, but after he returned to the United States, they were paying close attention to him. In 1976, American journalist David Talbert interviewed CIA officer James Wilcott. At the time Oswald was in Japan, Wilcott worked in the finance department of the CIA stationed in Tokyo. He issued checks to secret agents. Although they were all listed under code names, under oath he told the House Select Committee on Assassinations that he was aware that Oswald was a paid agent for the Central Intelligence Agency. Wilcott says, quote, "I paid out funds for Oswald over some period of time. The story I got was he was sent to the Soviet Union as a double agent," end quote. So now you have a CIA accountant saying he actually paid Oswald. If Oswald was employed by the CIA, something they denied for decades, how was that not headline news? This is a pivotal moment. One of the first things the American public was told about Oswald after the assassination was that he was an ex-Marine that had defected to the Soviet Union. It was a huge part of the narrative. The Warren Commission said that Oswald defected to the Soviet Union because he was a troubled young man. They never reported the fact that the CIA had a program to cultivate fake defectors. This wasn't known until the Church Committee revealed it in the mid-70s. So you have two competing narratives here. One, Oswald was interested in becoming a Soviet citizen and was willing to betray America and become a traitor. Or two, he was instructed by the CIA as part of an intelligence operation. The truth is, the CIA had a pretty thick file on Oswald. This is a fact that the CIA would spend decades denying. It was only in 1976 when a CIA staff member revealed to the House Select Committee on Assassinations that she was instructed to open a file on Oswald. They were watching him for 4 years before the assassination, and there can only be two reasons for this. Either he was in the Soviet Union on a mission, or he was a bona fide defector that had offered to give the Soviets top secret information. That brings us to our third and final question of the week. It comes from Jackson in Greensboro, North Carolina. He asks, why are there secret files about the JFK assassination if it's understood that Lee Harvey Oswald did it and he acted alone? Well, Jackson, you don't know it, but you just answered your own question. The reason there are secret files is because those hiding them are frantically trying to keep the public believing that Oswald was the lone gunman, when the facts prove otherwise. First, to set the record straight, there was no evidence whatsoever from the Dallas Police Department nor the FBI proving Oswald fired that rifle. Their failure is why there are secret files. Neither agency could prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that Oswald owned that rifle. That is why there are secret files. There is only one person who ever saw him with a rifle, but there is no evidence that it was the one used in the assassination, and that person was Oswald's wife Marina. She said he forced her to take the photos that were found after his death. However, her credibility is questionable. The fact that the photos were altered has also been clearly proven. What was a Dallas police officer doing with one of the photos years later has never been explained. That is why there are secret files. How did Oswald, a simple man, acquire the means and influence to travel to Russia during the Cold War? How was he able to live a luxurious lifestyle and meet his wife, who was not a normal Russian? How was he able to force his way back to the U.S. after denouncing his citizenship? That is why there are secret files. Who were his contacts inside the FBI and possibly the CIA? Was he really involved in Cuba affairs, or was that a front? That is why there are secret files. Finally, did Oswald have a role in JFK's assassination, and who were those working with him? What role did J.D. Tippit play, and exactly why was he also killed? That is why there are secret files. The hidden files were hidden to protect the lives and reputations of some very powerful men in the American government. The majority are now dead and thus escape detection. However, there are a number of people in the government that have never told what they know. President Biden is one of them. He knew RFK and was mentored by Ted Kennedy. Also, as vice president and now president, he has had access to information in the National Archives that few people ever get to see. Someone should ask him to tell what he knows, something he will never do. That is why there are secret files. As long as the files remain hidden, the lie that Oswald killed JFK will continue, having been etched on the public mind in 1963. Once they are finally released, people will see that the only crime that Oswald might have committed was trying to shoot a police officer who was wrongfully trying to arrest him, with a pistol that could not fire, as per the FBI. And I personally do not think that he was even at the Tippit murder scene. I believe he was already in the Texas Theater at the time J.D. Tippit was executed. People need to stop calling Oswald the assassin of JFK. The law states, innocent until proven guilty, something that has never been in this case. Thus, Lee Harvey Oswald is not guilty of anything and deserves to be remembered that way. We'll see you next week.